Welcome to Magical Mondays with the Psychic Cowgirl Shannon and Psychic Sidekick Virginia. We will be discussing metaphysical topics, psychic and intuitive development, and self-empowerment. Join us for information, laughter, and connection each Monday. Thanks for being here. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Magical Mondays. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Shannon. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited.
Me too. I'm excited that we're back live.
Me too. I've missed you.
Me too. I missed our Monday nights chatting and laughing.
I'm sure Molly and Dana did a great job of chatting and laughing with you.
They did.
In December.
They did, but it wasn't the same. Sorry. Sorry, Molly and Dana. So, to start off our 2013 shows, I chose, because Virginia was busy with other stuff, so I just took over. I'm kind of like that. That we would talk about ourselves a little bit and give you a little more insight into who we are and what we stand for or what we do or what fires us up or what makes us happy. We don't really have anything scripted or anything, which we don't usually. We're just going to see what happens.
Oh, that could go really, really bad.
It could, because Virginia and I were chatting last week about the show and going, you know, what we want to do. And we both ended up fired up about these some topics. And so that's kind of how we decided, well, that might come up tonight. Could happen.
It is what it is.
That's right. That's why this is fun. You just don't know. Just go with the energy. Okay, so, Virginia, do you want to start?
No, I was going to ask you if you wanted to start.
I'll always start.
That's okay, though. I'm okay with that.
I'll always jump in first. Okay, so, me. My name is Shannon Lackman, and I have the Psychic Cowgirl brand because I am a psychic cowgirl. I've been psychic always. I don't ever remember not being psychic. I didn't always know what it was or how to handle it. And the cowgirl part is because I live on a ranch in Alberta, and I have cows and horses and a llama and some cats and a new puppy that I just got on Saturday, and she's adorable, but my goodness, she's making me tired. Having a puppy is like having a baby or a toddler. It's all about the potty training.
Oh, that's not fun.
It's not so bad. Let me tell you the best part, though. So I tried on some jeans the other day, you know, and it's been Christmas, so you know what happens at Christmas time. And, hey, not a problem. They fit awesome. I was very happy because I ate a lot of stuff that maybe I shouldn't have over Christmas. Like blueberry tarts and whipped cream that you spray in your mouth. I mean, on the tart.
We all know you didn't spray it on the tart, or you may have, but you still sprayed it in your mouth.
Maybe, maybe not.
If I could still eat that, I would be doing the same thing.
Let's just say we all had fun when it was tart time. That's definitely one of the benefits of living on a ranch, because there's always a lot of outside work and chores. So, yeah, you get a lot of exercise. And I've learned that if I decide that I need more exercise and I say those words out loud, sure enough, my cows will get out or be somewhere they're not supposed to, and I end up having to chase them in a hurry, usually on foot. Yeah.
So isn't that interesting?
Yeah, don't say that out loud ever. No, not good. What else do I want to tell you? I'm married and I have two children that keep me nice and busy. And I have my business on my ranch. I do it all from home, away from people. I don't live in a very populated area, which is kind of cool.
I think that's a good thing.
Well, yeah. So that's all I can think of right now. So now it's Virginia's turn for a blurb.
Well, I'm Virginia Blank, and I am married with no children. I'm almost like the opposite of Shannon. While I'm married, we have no kids yet, and I do work outside of the home part-time, and I do live in a heavy populated area. But I also have been psychic my whole life, and I also didn't know what that was or what it meant or any of that stuff when I was younger. All I know is I started getting, like, visions or premonitions, and they kind of freaked me out a little bit, and I didn't know what to do with or about them. And then eventually I gave up trying to not figure it out and just gave in.
Nice, yes.
It was like my intuitive abilities were always kind of there, like in the background. And anytime I tried to say, I don't know what any of this is or what it means, and I'm going to ignore it, then something like dramatic would happen whenever I was trying to figure out like what direction to take with my life and career-wise and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, some really crazy, like off the wall, notice me now, intuitive thing would happen for me. And it was almost like, it was like knocking at my door, like, haha, we're not going away.
Nice.
So I was kind of forced to give in. And I shouldn't say forced, like it's not a bad thing. I really feel that, you know, it was happening that way because I was meant to do something with my life in this direction. So,
yes,
I'm okay with being forced to pay attention more.
I was forced to also. I tried to ignore it all. I tried drinking to ignore it all. It didn't work. All it did is break down some barriers, and I got a little freakier. So I've been told.
I am not a big drinker, but at least now I'm not. But there were times, you know, in my late teens and through my 20s where I'd be out with my friends and I would drink. And I didn't break down barriers, but I can tell you that I promise you I was the funniest person in the room. I don't care what anyone else said. I was the funniest person in the room.
Awesome. I was the person who would go over when a couple was fighting or, you know, he's off dancing with someone else and the girlfriend's sitting there kind of all sad and go over and say, you know what? He sucks. You can do way better. Look at that guy over there. Oh, yeah. I would be getting into other people's business.
I do that sober. So maybe I should drink more.
Maybe.
Oh, what do you do?
That's funny. And was there a point in your life where you realized that not everybody knew what you knew?
Yes.
Like, I always thought that everybody was intuitive. What do you mean you don't know?
And mine came more in terms of being around more intuitive people and thinking that they all knew things the same way I did.
Right.
Like, I thought everyone saw things the same way I did, received information the same way I did. I thought anyone who was intuitive could do everything the way I could. And I quickly learned that that's not the case.
True. True. That's one of those big ahas, isn't it?
Yes. I thought it was normal to physically see ghosts, and I thought it was normal to, you know that grandma's in the room, or to see little ghost animals running around the house, or
heck,
I thought
yeah.
that was normal for everyone. To have crazy premonitions about people and situations that you know nothing about. I really thought all of this stuff was par for the course with anyone who's intuitive, and apparently it's not.
No,
I'm not
apparently.
Even normal in the intuitive world.
Nope. Everybody has different talents and gifts, hey?
Yes.
And
I don't
part
think
of
that makes Sorry, I don't think that that makes any one of us better or worse than the next person. I just think it makes us different.
Yes. That's why it's fun to meet more people that are psychic and intuitive,
mm-hmm.
because what they can do is not what I can do necessarily. It's fun. Like the way you do things and some of the things you can do, I can't do.
And vice versa. And I also
yes.
like meeting other intuitive people because I like seeing and learning how they do things and wondering, I wonder if I can do that too. And then I find it as a way to kind of challenge myself to see the scope of what I actually can do.
Yes, I agree with that.
I'm going to use Peaceful Sue as an example since she's joining
okay.
us. She does a really great job of connecting with spirit guides, like other people's spirit guides, and I wonder, can I do that? I haven't tried yet, but I still wonder, can I do that?
You haven't tried it yet?
Mm-mm. I want to. I just haven't had, like, the time and the frame of mind to sit and do it, and probably a good volunteer, because I know a lot of us know each other, and so I don't think that I could necessarily do one for you, Shannon, because I've read the reading that she did for you, and I'm afraid
yeah.
I would.
Right. That makes sense,
I
though.
Would, yeah.
Oh, sorry, I didn't even let you finish all your sentences.
No, that's
because
okay.
I know what you're
saying. You know what
say.
I was saying.
That's what happens when you hang out with psychic friends.
You can finish each other's sentences, or you just answer without letting them finish.
Yes, because you know what's going to be said.
Oh, that's funny. So what about some of the services that you, like, so if I wanted to come and have a session done with you, or do I even have to come to you? Like, could we do one? Well, I already know the answer to this, so we can do one on the phone because you and I have.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I did Virginia's past life regression over the phone. That was super cool. I love past life regressions.
Love
them. I actually have one booked right away to do. No, over the phone is fantastic. Before I will do someone's past life regression, though, I will request to have a soul healing session with me. The reason for that is we need to create the connection so that you trust me and we can go to the past life regression. If we have one of those first, the past life regression is quicker. Like, we get you to the cool place quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I know you super, super well.
Well, I wasn't going to tell anyone that I didn't have the soul healing session first.
Well, you may think you didn't.
Oh, Shannon tricked me. She does. She's very good at this, people.
You just didn't officially have one. And so if you want to know what a soul healing session is with me, what it is we either sit down together or we do it over the phone. I don't do Skype because my Skype cuts out because I live on a ranch and Internet's not so good. And I connect to your energy and we go and we look at your timelines, we look at threads, we look at some past stuff that will show up that we need to clear the energy of or heal or zap, whatever needs to happen. And what you walk away with is your energy has been cleaned and cleared. You have confidence, you have clarity, and it creates a ripple effect so that you automatically become more intuitive.
Well, all that sounds awesome.
I know, and it's fun for me.
I think that's
fun.
A key element in us as practitioners or readers or whatever we want to refer to us as or other people want to refer to us as. I think that's a key element is that we have fun doing this. Like, we enjoy it and we get a kick out of it, and it's, like, fun is what keeps coming up, but I feel like fun isn't grand enough to describe, like, the excitement and the
right.
enjoyment we get out of doing sessions.
Because when you're working with someone and you get to watch or feel that aha and that, oh, that makes sense in their energy and it clicks and it releases some icky crud, it
mm-hmm.
is so amazing.
Mhm. I specifically look for that aha moment in, like, my life coaching sessions, especially. Like, I do not let the session end until I feel that from their energy.
Nice.
Because then I feel like there isn't that, like, that forward movement or that healing or whatever needs to come from it.
Yes. That makes sense.
So
and you're, you're... No, it's your turn.
Well, I was going to ask, like, what would you say that as a practitioner, what is your purpose behind or your intention behind a session? Like,
my...
if I come to you as a client, what is your intention behind any session?
To help you get clarity so that you can be intuitive for your own self. That's my purpose. That's what I want for everybody.
I like that.
You don't get to come and see me once a week, once a month. Uh-uh. I have a rule that you can't come see me after the first session for 3 months because you need to assimilate. There, whoa, I even said that right. What happened, because we change your energy when we work together, and you need
mm-hmm.
to let those aha moments show up and those ripple effects, because mostly what happens is that you don't get this big shift in your energy. Well, you do, but you don't notice it. And then you'll go to do something, and you will not have the same reaction that you used to, and you'll go, holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
That's from when I was working with Shannon. And what it does, it gives you this... I don't know how to describe it, really. I guess faith. And so if I could sit with you and show you how to do this and do this with you, you know in your soul that you can tune in for yourself, and it works. I'm freaky like that.
I love that you own your freakiness.
I do. I can't tell you how many people I have that will email me or call me or Facebook me after sessions and say, I can't believe this. Now I notice this and this, and I know when this is happening, and I understand when I'm being intuitive, and this happened, and do I trust this? Hell yeah. It is cool.
It is.
Cool, cool, cool. Kate, your turn. What is your favorite things you offer?
My favorite, that's hard. well, we all know I love numbers and numerology, but I've always wondered how numerology is supposed to fit into a practice I begin, and I finally get it. and that's with life coaching, which I have come to absolutely love. And I think that from what I hear you saying, I think that life coaching with me is similar to a soul healing with you in the sense that they're gaining clarity of in some fashion.
Yes. I've had a life coaching session with you, so I can say yes.
And that's like my purpose, is I want any session with me, even if it's a general intuitive reading, like an oracle card reading or just me tuning into your energy type of reading, my goal is to have some kind of forward movement or progression for the client and for them to have healing of some sort or to experience healing of some sort. And that healing may just come in a moment of clarity, because I feel that in that clarity, healing on some level happens.
Nice. And you're right.
And I'm trying to think, because I have a list, but you said my favorite, so I don't know what my favorite is. but I very easily weave a lot of things together, like
nice
oracle card readings or numerology or tarot readings, any type of divination thing, I can very easily weave into a life coaching session and create that awareness or forward movement. See, you're freaky at some things. I'm freaky at this.
She is. She's the one that takes oracle cards and mixes the decks. Oh, I can't do that. She makes it work. It just freaks
me out. I love that. And I think it's so funny that it freaks you out.
Oh, it does. I need clean, straight lines. Little OCD going on there. But Virginia's really good at weaving things together and making it a lot more personalized.
I try to tailor things to who I'm working with. And that's why, like, even so, say you came to me for hypnotherapy, it wouldn't just be hypnotherapy. I would somehow weave life coaching in there and some type of intuitive reading. I mean, there's going to be intuition no matter what, because I tune into
right.
my clients in any session. And, you know, there may be aspects of aromatherapy put in. There may be, I don't know, I might have you doing yoga on your own. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to weave a bunch of things together to tailor sessions to you and what fits for you and what your energy is calling for and what you are needing at that moment.
Nice. So basically,
so
you are listening to your client mm-hmm. energetically.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can figure out what they need.
Right. So that I can provide.
Instead of following a set pattern, right?
Right.
Because when we take classes and courses, they always have a set pattern, like a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you take all that and you mix it all up.
I do. And I love it.
I do that too. I don't.
So many
yeah,
times.
I don't,
so many times in classes I've been asked, you know, well, what is your, you know, like, say hypnotherapy, for example, what is your hypnotherapy practice going to be like? What, you know, road do you plan to go down or focus on? And my answer's always been the same, like, from day one to, you know, the very last day. I'm not going to box myself in. I can't say I'm only going to work with past life regression, or I'm only going to work with weight management, or I'm going to be across the board, and whatever it is that my client needs, I'm going to do my best to provide that.
Nice. Isn't that where being psychic and intuitive is such a huge asset?
Yes. this is what's really freaky about me. And
all right, even, cool.
Even my instructors have said, I would warn you against this, but I don't listen to them because it's worked every single time. Anytime I do, like, a life coaching session or a hypnotherapy session or even, like, a spiritual coaching session, if I'm going to use any type of, like, divination tool or if I'm using, what's the word I'm looking for, like a specific exercise for the life coaching session or
yeah.
a specific script for hypnotherapy, I already have it before I even start the session or sit down and talk with the client. I will just tune into their name and their energy, and as I'm going through, like something just jumps out at me. It's like, just secretly set that aside, and then I go about the beginning of the session like normal and our little consultation at first, and then I just pull it out and use what I've already tuned into, and that's always what works out with every session so far.
Sure.
But I think it's funny that my instructors have said, I would warn you against picking things out ahead of time, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, I'm not picking it out. Somebody else. Like, I'm just
I'm not doing it.
And I can't say that that's going to work every single time. Just this far, it has worked. And I kind of enjoy it because it's kind of a freaky thing. Like, man, you know, done this many sessions in this manner, and it's still kind of working out this way. It's kind of freaky cool.
Very freaky cool.
That's fun.
That is fun. Now, where should we go next?
Well, we've talked about things that we love and what what we do. So maybe we should kind of talk about aspects of this world and this life that we don't particularly care for.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Shannon and I both are very honest and forthcoming people, and we truly have pure intentions behind the work that we do. And unfortunately, the same cannot be said about other people who are in the same line of work that we are.
Yes. And it really gets us a little worked up because, as we all know, the word psychic gets that negative connotation. And so we are working to blast that stereotype so that people will associate a psychic with someone who will help them and be like a healer, things like that.
Yes.
And so we come across
and more than and more than fires me up, it really pisses me off.
Yes. So now Virginia's going to go first on this part. See, can you all feel her energy getting all...
I don't think it's fair. I feel that, like Shannon said, there's already this odd energy and association with the word psychic. And I feel like it's not fair to abuse or use the abilities that you have. Because, first of all, every single one of us is intuitive.
Yes.
Not every single one of us chooses to tune into that intuition, but we all have it. So we all use it in different fashions and in different forms. And the difference is the intention behind how we're using it. So if you're intending to gain fame or fortune, that's not a good thing. Like, it may come along with your work, like, you know, and if it does, hey, that's awesome. But
right.
If you set out with the intention to gain that because you are psychic, that's not a good thing. You're not setting the underlying intention very well. And you may thrive and survive and succeed, and you may not. That you know, is all going to depend on you. But for people like me and Shannon and, you know, many other people that we know, our intention is to be that healer and that helper and that positive aspect. And if we become some crazy famous person, so be it. That's not what we intend.
No.
That's not what we set out to do. We're setting out to change the, I don't want to say the world, but maybe kind of change the psychic world from our little corners of the earth. You know, even if it's only in our neighborhood, then a change was made.
Right.
And if no change is made, at least at the end of the day, we can sleep soundly because we haven't done anything malicious to anyone else to get where we're going.
Right.
There's a good phrase, a good saying that I heard a while ago that I love, and it's raise as you climb. So as you're climbing to the betterment of yourself, pick someone up, but, you know, take their hand and raise them up with you. Don't stomp on other people's heads to climb up where you're going.
Yes. Well, and there's also an aspect of being psychic where they want the fame and the recognition because in some way they feel that validates them. But that will also burn them out because it's the wrong, well, I can't even say wrong because if it's theirs, right? But
right.
It doesn't have a solid foundation because they're stemming from a place of insecurities and their intention is to be validated and recognized rather than to help people or figure themselves out or whatever, you know, shadow part of themselves that they may be missing.
Right.
That's our society, though. We have, as a society, and I don't know what the word is, we seem to think that if people are famous and we know who they are, that they're better than us. I don't, because fame scares the liver out of me. People would, like, want stuff from me.
Right. And
I would have to pay them.
I don't know that necessarily scares me. What scares me about it is the thought of me getting lost in it and not keeping that sense and foundation of who I am and what I want to do and what my intentions were. And so because I'm so afraid of that happening, I think I'm pretty good at shying away from fame.
And staying grounded.
Yeah.
Because I absolutely adore my life exactly how it is right now, and I want it to grow in ways that I can handle it. Sure, I mean, I will expand my business, but only as far as I can handle it, because group things don't work very well for me. So me having a business where I employed a bunch of people would not work for me very well right now.
Right.
It would drain my energy. And that's something else to be aware of. Like, what does drain your energy and what pulls it down? I have a little trick to help with that. Want
to
know?
I'd love to hear it.
All right. So, all of you listening, if you take and stretch your arms out as far as you can go and open up your chest and just stretch and say, I feel happy, and then just see how that feels in your energy. Then I want you to scrunch yourselves up into as small a ball as you can. I know you're probably sitting down or something, but scrunch your energy, maybe even cross your arms across your chest and say, I feel happy. And see how that feels in your energy. And now, still in that same scrunch position, I want you to say, I feel icky or sad. So in your scrunch position, when you say, I feel icky or sad, that seems to fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we stretch out again and say, I feel sad, that doesn't fit. So anything that's good for your energy will feel expansive and feel like your energy is stretching and growing. Anything that is not good for your energy will make you feel like curling up in the fetal position, cross your arms. It will make you want to shield yourself. This is highly effective for decision making.
I find that things that don't make me happy make me want to run really fast in opposite direction.
Make you want to run?
Yeah.
Cool.
Really fast, far away. Like, I can't get away from the people or the situations fast enough that stress me out or make me unhappy or just aren't good.
Nice. Well, that's a good thing to know for your own energy. Nice. So my get on my soapbox thing lately has been, and actually I had someone have a conversation with me the other day that helped me understand better. So that was good. But again, people that are in the spiritual business but are doing things that aren't exactly ethical, and you can check up on them. And I'm having a deja vu right now as we talk about this.
Oh, that's fun.
So, trademarking. You cannot just throw a TM on anything and call it good. There is a process. There is a paperwork that you have to go through. Now, I know it's different in the U.S. than Canada. In Canada, you can just throw a TM on anything if you have the intention of trademarking it. But, I mean, there's got to be a reasonable amount of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know people that have thrown a TM on stuff, and it's a year later, and there's still no paperwork filed. And once you file the paperwork, it still takes some time. I filed mine in March for Psychic Cowgirl. The Canadian one has not been approved yet, but the U.S. one has. So I do have a registered trademark legally and everything now. So because I went through all this process, I did a ton of research. I had, like, really interesting conversations with people on Twitter because I didn't know how it all worked. And then when
I
was...
to interrupt.
Yep.
Shannon is freaky about this. Shannon is freaky about finding out anything.
I can. Yeah, give me a computer and you wouldn't be amazed at the information I can find out about people. It is freaky.
Oh.
It is.
Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted.
That's okay. It's true. It's one of my freaky gifts. I also find that I don't do that unless there's something about the person I don't trust. Like if I come across a class or something and I find it interesting, if I find myself researching that person, I know that there's something that's triggering a little spidey sense saying, yeah, probably not. So, yes, I researched a lot. I looked up tons of people to see how they filed their trademark, what words they used, because there's a really big process you have to go through, a ton of paperwork, and it's very exact. So I found all these people that throw trademark symbols on stuff that don't have it trademarked. They're lying, and that made me irritated. But it also gives you, as someone who might want to work with somebody else, a tool. So if you come across someone, a practitioner or offering a class or who wrote a book, whatever it is, and you see they have a trademark symbol or the registered symbol, you can go look it up in the U.S. trademark database or the Canadian database, depending which country. I would use both, and see if they actually have it trademarked. If they do not, there's an ethical problem there. Or maybe they just don't have a clue. Either way, do you want to work with them?
Not really.
So I wrote that as part of one of my blogs for the end of 2012 because, yeah, I got a little rant. And so then Virginia and I get this message from somebody wanting to guest on the radio show. We get these quite often. And this guy whose assistant sent me the message, has these words untrademarked. I'm like, okay, well, I'll go look. And it's trademarked to a credit union, not this product, let's call it, that he was promoting. I called bullshit. And I actually sent them an email saying, why are you doing this? How can you do this? This isn't legal. They didn't answer me. Weird.
Why?
There was more to the email that triggered my spidey senses, too. So, of course, it's really nice when you can go, though, and do some research and have your spidey senses validated.
Mm-hmm.
Do research, people.
And I think that's another thing for me is honesty. And it's not that hard to be honest. It actually takes more energy to lie because you have to remember the lies that you're telling. But I think it's so important to be honest, especially, first of all, in life, period, but in this line of work, I think honesty behind your words, honesty and integrity, and like Shannon said, ethics behind your words and your purpose are very, very important.
They are. And granted, I did have someone tell me that someone had told them that you can just put a trademark on it and it's done. So maybe there's some misinformation going on out there. But
even if that's the case, do you want a trademark on something you're selling to be affiliated with a random credit union, or do you want it to belong to you?
Well, and do the research, people. It only takes a few minutes to Google.
Right.
When I was trademarking Psychic Cowgirl, I Googled to see if anybody else was using it first. Because my company name is Goddess Power, and I can't trademark that one because somebody else, I don't know if they've trademarked it. I don't think they have yet, but they're using it, so I wouldn't do that. It's just something that you can check.
So now that we've kind of gone down the yucky path,
the rant, all right,
get more fun again.
Yes, let's do that. Okay, so how many minutes do we have? We have actually a surprise for all you listeners. We each have a surprise. I said in the information that there might be a surprise, some surprises, and there is, but we might not tell you to the very end, just to tease you.
That's not fair, Shannon.
I know, but I have children, so I'm used to doing this. I'm used to bribing people.
So, aside from soul healing and past life regressions, which you kind of focus on right now, what other fun things can you offer?
The dream stuff. I love helping people interpret their dreams. I love dreaming. I've always loved dreaming. To me, it's always been an adventure.
Okay.
And when I help you interpret your dreams, I do teach a dream class, and I am going to do classes online this year instead of just in person. I teach you how to interpret your dreams intuitively. And just so you all know, that is what I'm presenting at the Conscious Wisdom Festival, January 22nd to 24th, and I'm on the Wednesday, the first presenter on the Wednesday. And I'm going to talk about symbolism in dreams and how to interpret your own dreams using your own intuition. If you hear purring, it's because my cat joined me.
I've always loved dreams, too, and helping interpret them. I get a kick out of it when people are like, oh, you know, you can help with dreams? Okay, well, I dreamt about blah, blah, blah. Like, I just think it's so fun.
It is
because
fun.
Sometimes the things are so obvious, like the symbolism of it is so obvious, but it's obvious to me and obviously not to them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be asking me.
True. And sometimes it's obvious because of our intuition and our spidey senses, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Especially those parallel life dreams.
That's not funny. Does everyone see what I have to deal with now? You see what she does to me? She tortures me. But then I'm not allowed to scare her.
But every show I get to find a way to talk about parallel life dreams because they freak Virginia out.
Oh.
So Peaceful Sue in the chat room is saying this year the shift is causing some wild dreams. I agree.
I do too.
There is some intense symbolism going on. The thing with dreams is they're rarely literal.
It's right.
Always symbolism because universal language is symbolism. There, play with that. My cat just put something in the chat room. Oh, it says my message is too long. She walked across the keyboard. So if you lose me, that's why. Bless her.
Yes, you're gone from the chat room.
I am. It was Mindy. I think our dream time, just like our intuition and our empathy and everything, is also going to become more powerful.
I agree. I think it already has started.
Yes. So pay attention to those messages, people. Figure them out. It'll give you good information.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Virginia, what else are you offering?
I don't know. I think I covered. I mean, I do tarot readings and numerology and medium readings and psychic readings and life coaching and hypnotherapy and spiritual coaching. And spiritual coaching is very much like life coaching. It's just me. I always kind of set the stage before any session. I create the sacred space and invite any angels or guides to the session. But I don't always make that known to the client because they may not be comfortable with that. But with spiritual coaching, I make it known to the client, and we kind of set the space together and invite the helpers together, and it's really cool. It's really fun and kind of freaky how much more aware we both are, myself as a practitioner and the client. It's a lot of fun.
That is cool.
Yeah. So the difference, it's really the same on my end. It's just a little different on the client's end.
Right.
And it's what their comfort level is. Because
nice.
I don't want to, you know, if they're not comfortable with certain aspects of spirituality, I'm not going to force it on them, you know.
Good point. Okay, you better explain tarot reading.
Okay. Tarot reading is very fun. It's similar kind of to, I don't know what it's similar to. It's not like a reading, like, so you come and you get an intuitive reading or an oracle or tarot card reading. It's not that because it's not telling of what could or possibly happen. It's more of what has happened. So it's more of like a coaching session than it is a reading because our feet and our toes especially carry kind of like, is holograph maybe the word? They carry like literally everything we've experienced in life. So there's certain aspects of each toe that you look at and of the feet as a whole that you look at. And you get information from. It's hard to explain without doing. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Each toe represents a different element and a different area of life. And so by looking at each toe, I can pick up on certain aspects of you. Like, let's do this. Do you have any oddities with any of your toes?
I don't think so.
Okay, do you have a toe that has always kind of stood out to you?
No.
My toes are boring.
I know, sorry.
Okay, what's your favorite toe?
Seriously? Yeah. I don't have one. I don't even like feet. I tried being a pedicurist, an esthetician. Yeah, I failed because I hate feet.
Yuck. I don't like necessarily playing with feet, but I like reading feet.
All right, so you want me to pick a favorite toe? Huh.
Yes.
I don't know.
Look down.
How about
pick
the baby
one.
Toe?
Okay, on your left or right foot?
I am looking at my left foot.
Okay, so your baby toe on your left foot?
Sure.
Your favorite?
Yep.
Does your baby toe on your left foot, is it kind of straightened or is it kind of curved? Does it?
Oh, no, it's curved.
And is it facing the fourth toe?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
See, you don't even have to answer. Yes, it is.
So can you recognize areas in your life where you have encountered something in your past and you have a hard time letting go to allow yourself to trust moving forward?
Yeah.
And there, my friends, is how a tarot reading happened.
There you go.
Obviously, it would involve every toe on one foot or both feet, but yeah, that's just a little snippet of.
So if I wanted a toe reading from you, what do? Send you a picture of my toes?
Yes, and it would have to be like a picture from that day. You couldn't send me one today and then we do the reading next week because your toes change. Believe it
really?
Or not, with every experience that you go through and everything that happens, your toes change. You can take a picture of your toes today and take a picture of your toes every Monday night at 9:50 for the next 4 weeks, 4 months, 4 years, and there will be a difference in every picture.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. The more awareness that you get and the more that you evolve and change the patterns that created the situation or the way that the toes are situated right now, that your toe situations or positions change with your thoughts and your experiences.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That is cool.
Mm-hmm. It's very exciting. And Sherry says
one.
Her second toe is bigger than her big toe. So, Charity, is it safe to say that you talk a little bit more than maybe you should? And that you're talking probably overshadows your doing and your following your purpose. And I know we're on a slight delay for her, so we'll wait for her response.
That is pretty cool.
My favorite toe is my middle toe on my right foot, and that is the fire toe, which is like your action toe. And I've always been like a doer. Like I make things happen. And so I thought that was interesting that that's my favorite toe.
I didn't even know you could have a favorite toe.
And see, so your favorite toe, which probably isn't your favorite, but it stands out the most to you because I bet that's the area of your life that you probably need the most work on.
Yes, and it is.
So see how it fits?
Yes. I just didn't know you were supposed to have a favorite toe.
No, well, you don't have to have a favorite. I'm just a weirdo.
Huh.
So Charity says she doesn't know. So Let me ask you this, Charity. Are you a big talker? Are you someone who's very vocal? And if you are, do you vocalize your needs and wants more than you act on them? That might be a better way to word that. The tarot reading is a lot of fun, and so it's not really like me, like I said, it's not me telling. It's more of an introspective thing where I'm going to take notice of things in your toes that symbolize or show aspects of your life, and I'm going to ask you about them so that you kind of go within and say, oh, well, yeah, that is kind of right. Because those are showing things that you either need to work on or that you accentuate or whatever it happens to be in your specific case. So really, you have to do the work. It's not
right.
Me. It's you. So you're paying me for you to do the work.
You're being the interpreter, though. You're looking at my toes and saying, well, this toe is telling me this.
Mm-hmm. And that's really, I think I just summed up, like, a lot of sessions with me. Because I refuse to do the work for you. You
absolutely
have to do the work. I'm just here to help you gain that awareness and that insight.
A guide.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, we can tell you everything that your team of heavenly helpers are telling us through any of our sessions because we are tuned in. But if you don't do any of the work or take responsibility for anything, it's not going to help you.
Right.
You don't have to do it all even at one time. Just take some of it.
Exactly.
Because the results are magnificent.
Beyond magnificent.
Beyond magnificent.
Okay, we've waited long enough. Can we give the surprise?
Oh, we're done I'm done taunting? All right. So everybody listening and in the chat room, the first 7 people. And if you're listening to the archives, go for it anyway. You never know what could happen.
Right.
If you email me your dreams, or dream one at a time so I don't get confused, at shannon@psychiccowgirl.com, I will help you interpret them for free. So the first 7 of you that email me your dreams that you want to know what the heck does this mean, you get a dream interpretation, and I do it intuitively, and we'll work together, and you'll get to know what it means. Send it to shannon@psychiccowgirl.com, and if you get that, Google Shannon Lackman, or Google Psychic Cowgirl. You can find me that way. Okay, it tells me 90 seconds, Virginia. Your turn.
Okay. So I'm also going to make an offer for the first 7 people that email me at theblank13@yahoo.com. I'm offering a 15-minute mini life coaching session with toe reading or numerology, your choice. And numerology isn't going to be a whole profile. It's just going to solely be your destiny number. And toe readings will probably, within that 15 minutes, probably be 1 foot, which will probably be your dominant foot.
Score. So because it's 2013 and we took a nice long break and we're fresh and excited for our shows, you guys get free stuff this time. Yay!
And we like free stuff. We all do.
Absolutely. Free surprises are great.
And once we hit the 7, people will definitely respond to emails saying, you know, sorry, we've got our 7, or you know, what have
yes.
you.
Yes, we will
like
let you
Shannon
know.
Said, if,
absolutely.
If you're listening to the archives, still email, because we may not have had the seven people email us yet.
You never know. Because I find, even with my dream class, it takes people a while to think of which dream they want to interpret.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, try it. You never know. And if it's really freaky cool, I might just anyway, just for fun. Because what if it's a parallel life dream?
You know what, Shannon?
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And it's time for us to go. And we will see you next Monday. We'll be here the same time to chat with you.
About how we came out about our gifts.
Yes, how freaky that was. Good night.
Bye.